In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good morning. Welcome back, Serena. Welcome back, all you who have come from college as well. Lily as well, Liliana. Anybody else who's here as well, thank you. Good to see you again. Yeah, what a joy, what a joy. Today we, wanted to start in Spanish, actually. Qué linda está la mañana. Y también es de tarde, ¿no? No podemos celebrar esta misa hoy en la liturgia. Por la Virgencita, pero celebramos siempre la Virgencita en nuestro corazón, porque Él mantiene la alegría en nuestro corazón. Este es el tema de nuestra homilía en pocos minutos. Pero tenemos un anuncio. Primeramente, tenemos una clase de bautismo por alguien que necesitan mañana por la tarde, porque hay una familia que decía, necesitamos aprender una clase de bautismo mañana. Entonces, a las 6:30 o pura después de la misa tenemos esta clase en la rectoría. We'll have a class in baptism right after the mass on tomorrow, if anybody needs it. We have a couple families who are coming in for that. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, you need it in some sort of way, that's the moment to do so. We had a really great mission based on Our Lady and an Immaculate Defense. Some of you were able to make it for that. Thank you for being able to do so. If you weren't able to be there, that's totally fine. The recordings are on the website that are there, and so you can listen to it in that way. I know a number of people have been able to do so and to catch that. So Father Frederick, as you know, came here when I first arrived here many, many years ago. He came here once, and so he said he'd be happy to come again in the future if he's ever able to. But for Lent, I almost have the priest, he's almost said yes. So he still hasn't finalized his yes for us to be able to come here at this time, but he's gonna be great if we can get him over here. Been in conversation with him. And finally, if there's some of you who haven't picked up your envelopes yet, they're still in the back there. If you could go ahead and grab those or take them to your relatives so that everybody has their envelopes as the turn of the year comes at the end of this month. And the Mass for Christmas is on Christmas Day this year. So Christmas Day at 10 o'clock, and Father Sinha will be offering that Mass for us at 10 o'clock. So there's a slight change on that, but we'll be back to the normal Mass on Sunday, which is the Feast of the Holy Family. So the question is, because Christmas falls on a Saturday, does that mean I also need to go to Mass on Sunday? Does anybody know what the answer is? That's correct. You know the answer, and the answer is yes. So that is good. That's good. It works on both things. You got two obligations, so you got two Masses. In next week's bulletin, I'll try to have a little ticket. One of my priest friends made it out to be able to help his parishioners to be able to punch that in for you. It's really easy. You got the same choices which are there. But I'll also put on the Masses for Santa Rosa if that somehow works for you as well, so you can know exactly what is available to you, at least in our parochial situations here under the same priest. And was there something else I missed out on, Fabian? No? Okay. So listen to the words of St. Paul. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Your kindness should be known to all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Today is Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete Sunday is a word which means rejoice. It's all about rejoicing this particular Sunday. In today's readings, if you were paying attention to what Miss Mickey gave for us, did you count how many times Miss Mickey said rejoice? Did you count them? Who said it? Somebody got it right there. I don't know who that voice was, but somebody said 12. And that's exactly right. 12 times within our readings today, we hear the word rejoice, 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 rejoice. I'm not going to say it 12 times, but rejoice. You heard that word there, and it's important for us. Because when we're entering into this Advent season, this Christmas season, it's all about Christ, and Christ came for one reason for us. He didn't come in the fullness of His glory as to judge the living and the dead, His great almighty power at Christmas. That's not what this is about. He didn't come to hurt or to intimidate. He didn't come to enslave us if we choose not to be a part of His kingdom. Christ came for one reason, and that is salvation, to save. In fact, that's what the very name of Jesus means. It means He saves. Christ is the one who saves us. His very being is salvation. And His salvation is founded in this. It's in His ability to bring us into friendship with God. That's what it's about. It's about becoming the friend of God, being able to speak to Him as friends, a familiar relationship, to be a part of His family. It's about the safety of being in a right relationship with our Creator. And this is the reason and the cause why Christmas should be joy-filled for you and me, and our journey in Advent should be one of increasing joy. St. Paul speaks about this in the second reading, doesn't he? He speaks about it in Philippians chapter 4. What does he say there? He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And just in case you didn't get it, I say it again, rejoice. Why? Because the Lord is near. And he's becoming nearer and nearer on his way as time goes on. He emphasizes it in that way. He doesn't say just rejoice. He says rejoice always. And he says rejoice always because our joy has to be something which goes deeper than yours and my immediate feeling in the moment. Our feelings shift and move. It has to go deeper than our emotional state. It has to go deeper than the challenging situations that we experience day by day, deeper than what happens to be going on with our jobs, or maybe whether we did well on our finals or on our exams, or whether our health situation is going up, or maybe it's on the downward turn, or whether a government oppression or mandates are breathing down our throats. It has to go deeper than all these things which are exterior to our person. What is the deeper thing that our joy has to be founded on if it's going to be true and lasting joy that Christ brings us? Our joy has to be founded upon salvation. That's it, which is what the name of Jesus means. It's about friendship with God, something that never ends and something that no one, no matter what they do to the exterior of our person, can ever steal from us. Our joy has to be built upon God's never-ending love, not for us as a group of Catholics, not just for us who happen to be here in Fort Sumner, not just for any sort of group you might want to find yourself in. God does not come to save any groups. God only comes to save individuals, you and me. He reaches out and he says, Alyssa, I want you to know my love. He'll reach out to you and say, Karen, I want you to know that I am for you, to say to you, David, I'm all about you. That no matter what's gone on in the past, no matter what anybody has said to you or done beside you or anything which is sharp or hurtful that has been healed or hurled at you, it doesn't matter how many times you screw up or what others harm against you. Our joy has to be founded upon the realization that we are not alone in this life. What have we been singing, not this Sunday, but other Sundays during the season of Advent? We have that constant hymn which we bring out there. We say what? O come, Emmanuel. And last night's mass, there was a little boy, he's 2 years old, I baptized him 2 years ago. His name is Manuel. I said, does anybody know what Emmanuel means? Manuel. That little boy raised his hand. He knew. It means God is with us. God is with us. And so when we're singing that song which so permeates our experience of Advent, we're saying, oh come, God, be near to us. Come, God, be with us. Come, God, remind us that we're not alone in this moment. That is the source of our Christian joy. Christian joy is something that differs from every other kind of human or natural joy that you can experience within this life. Particularly, it differs in three ways. I'm going to give those to you right now. Here are the three ways in which our Christian joy differs from anything else that the world gives us that has a thrill, which is a false sense of joy. First is this. Christian joy is different because Christian joy doesn't fade over time. Other kind of joys do. Christian joy is something that comes from us because it's alive. It's based on a life. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ who is absolutely alive, life itself. Every Christmas, I'm sure all of your families have it for the most part, you got a Christmas tree at home. You got some sort of Christmas tree that is there. And what is the Christmas tree always made out of? A Christmas tree is always an evergreen tree, right? We always have those evergreen trees that are there, and that's an important symbol for us because an evergreen tree, all the other trees become leafless. They go dormant during the winter season, but not the evergreen tree. Not the evergreen tree. Evergreen trees are so green, they're so fragrant, they're still living and showing forth life in the midst of a world that is not. The Christmas tree symbolizes hope amidst the winter's lifelessness, that cold, those dark days, and whatever else is going on the outside, that Christmas tree remains showing forth life. That's important for us as Catholics. Because in the same way, the joy which is Christ at Christmas does not fade with the passage of time. It remains constant. But even more than that, that's the second point. The second point is that Christian joy grows more and more and more intense as our faith journey continues. It doesn't fade in the least bit. Right here, Pauline, what color are you wearing today? Yeah? You too, Mickey? Well, I'm wearing rose. I'm wearing rose. And in this rose, there's something with the vesture that we're wearing today. You're wearing it intentionally because you know what we're going through right now. That's the color that we wear two times out of the entire year, once in Advent, once during the season of Lent. And this rose, what it's supposed to remind us is of that joy. It reminds us of the sky that happens at the break of dawn. Those families who went with us to Melrose on Sunday, you know a little bit about this. We talked about this in the homily that we preached there. But when you're there awake at dawn, when you see that, when you're at the brightness of dawn, when the sky is just beginning to get the first little bits of light at sunrise, what happens is that the sky begins to turn first a pale pink, a pale rose. And then that color intensifies with various shades of red, more red, more red, more red, as time goes on until finally the sun breaks forth. And all of a sudden the whole world is shrouded in the brightness of light. That right there is a symbol of the Christian life as a whole. All of the Christian life is this. It is a beginning of dawn, a dawning of light. It begins at one color, this light color, and then grows in intensity and intensity and intensity until finally at the very end of life culminates in the brightness of the newness of day. Christian death is not something that we fear, because Christian death is living in the brightness of the Father's glory, breaking forth into eternal light. That is the joy which we have in store for us as Christians that doesn't fade, but in fact increases and increases so long as we stay with Christ. That's the second way Christian joy is different. What about the third way? The third way in which our Christian joy is different than any other kind of semblance of joy that any man can experience is that Christian joy can't be contained. It can't be contained. It can't be held or hidden within ourselves alone. It must be shared. And in sharing Christian joy, joy grows more and more. Nothing is lost. This is the reason why during the season of Christmas, we have the practice of giving gifts. We give gifts for this very reason. Remember, Jesus said in Acts chapter 20, he said it is better to give than to receive. It is better to give than to receive. Jesus says that within our scriptures there, and we all know that from our own selves and our own lives. We know that when we do good for others, when we make a sacrifice so that somebody else's life is a little bit easier, even when it costs us a lot, even when it's inconvenient to us, what happens in the interior of us, we gain a deeper sense of fulfillment, a deeper sense of satisfaction within ourselves. You parents know this well. When you give gifts to your children, to your grandchildren, you're not worried about whether it's super useful to them. You're not worried about anything else about that gift that you have to them. All you want to do is see them open it up. And then when it's opened up, you want to see the brightness on their face, a joy that's out there, an excitement, a wow, that I got this. And when you see that, everything within your own soul changes. And it's all the more easier. And you have increased your joy in the giving of that gift. They gave you the gift of seeing their joy. And so your joy is increased in the same way. That is what the Christian life is all about. But when we're selfish, when we're egoistic, when we're all self-centered, what happens to our soul? It shrivels up like a raisin. We become like Scrooge in Charles Dickens's Christmas Carol, all turned in upon ourselves. And then nothing is tasteful. Nothing, everything becomes vapid. It's in the same way that we do on Christmas Eve Mass. On Christmas Eve Mass, we're supposed to start the church in total darkness. We begin in there, and all of a sudden, at the beginning of Mass, a candle is lit, a taper is lit. And then from that one taper, everybody else is to light their own tapers one by one, passing the light throughout. And when you pass the light in that way, do you lose any of your light by giving some light to somebody else? That's right, you don't. When you pass on that light, it gets passed on to the next person and to the next person, and you don't lose any of the light, but instead, by giving, you actually get more light. You get more warmth. The whole of the church becomes lit aflame. Because we've shared something that cannot be taken away. It's not a zero-sum game of joy like the world sees joy. In fact, Christian joy only increases everybody else's Christian joy when it's shared. The Christian joy that Jesus offers us in the Advent and Christmas season is very that. It's lasting, it's growing, it's self-multiplying joy. And this is a joy that is only possible from the moment that we accept Jesus Christ as the Christ child, the little babe of Bethlehem. And when we let him come to live, to take him into our homes, to, as we say so often within the season, Christ at Christmas, be reborn again in me, in my family, in this situation. But maybe some of you are struggling because that's not your experience now. You don't have that joy. That's great that that's an idea. But maybe somebody has robbed you of a sense of joy at this time. Maybe you feel anxiety when you're here at Mass or full of worry. Maybe there's a fear of something that's going on outside these four walls that's attacking you today. Because so many hardships are plaguing our families, our church, maybe just your own soul in a silent place that you don't let anybody go. You put on the smile. Today has a joy for you. What's that joy today? There's something special about the 12th of December. What do we do on the 12th of December? That's right, you know. She's right here. That's what the 12th of December is all about. It's all about Our Lady of Guadalupe. And you know the story well. We've talked about it often. You celebrate it well, often with dancing. I'm not sure why not today. But you know the story. In 1531, and that was 10 years after Hernán Cortés conquered Mexico for Our Lady. When he put an end to the human sacrifices, where it's such an outrage before God, and prepared the way for Our Lady to enter into it, the Christian faith was growing and growing, but the native indigenous people were struggling. Because while they were beginning to accept the faith, they saw so many of their countrymen passing away because they weren't used to the diseases that the Europeans had developed immunity to. And so they saw their culture vanishing and thought maybe they were unimportant. Maybe they would be wiped out from the earth. Maybe this was what that God willed for them because of the wickedness in which they had perpetrated over the centuries. And it was at that time, in the beginning part of December, that Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared to a young native convert by the name of Juan Diego. And this Juan Diego heard some important messages from Our Lady. I'm going to share with you a couple of those words. On the first apparition, Our Lady appeared to Juan Diego as he was there on Tapayac Hill. And she said this to him. She said, "Know this well. You are the most humble of my sons, Juan Diego. And understand that I am the Holy Virgin Mary, Mother of the true God, for whom we live, of the Creator of all things, the Lord of heaven and of the earth. And I wish there to be here built a church, erected quickly, so that I may, within this church, show and give all of my love, my compassion, my help, and my protection, because I am your merciful mother, a mother to you, and to all the inhabitants of this land, and to the whole rest who love me, who call upon my name, and who trust in me. I want to listen to them in that place, to their lamentations, their weeping, to remedy all their miseries, their afflictions, and their sorrows." These are the words of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And then after that, she charged him to go and talk to Juan de Zumárraga, the bishop, to convince him to build that church. What we see here is that our Mother Mary, when she turns, when she goes there and spends time with her, she reveals herself as none other than a mother. That's the most important thing. She reveals herself as a mother. And Mother Mary's first goal is to do what? She says to give all of her love, all of her compassion, all of her help, all of her protection. Because Mother Mary sees herself as a mother. A mother to all especially, who love her, who trust her enough to call upon her, who are willing to confide whatever difficulties are going on in their lives just to her, trusting that she can do something about it. Beyond that, Mother Mary wants to listen. She's not afraid of you being weepy in front of her, or pouring out your sorrows on the way, or ugly crying in her presence. She's a mother. She has all the remedy to all of our misery. She wants to fix the hurt that goes on in our souls that we hide from everybody else with a smile. She wants to console us in the midst of every sorrow that plagues our hearts. But maybe like Juan Diego, when you're here today in this church, you feel dejected because your efforts aren't being met. Because no one is listening to what you're saying, because it feels like your efforts are all in vain. They're not amounting to anything. Like the more you try to do good, the more evil, the more disappointment comes your way, the more hurt that somebody inflicts upon you. You know, Juan Diego, he went to the bishop three times, and three times the bishop turned him away saying, "That's not enough. I need more. How do I really know that you're being sent by the Mother of God to you?" It's easy to become discouraged. It's easy to understandable even to want to give up when your best efforts are met with more persecution, more pain, over and over again. Juan Diego, in that depression that he was experiencing, even tried to avoid Our Lady by going around Mount Tapayac, a way in which he didn't normally go to avoid the Lady, because he knew she'd find him. You see, he saw within his own situation his uncle Juan Bernardino, who was deathly ill. He knew that he was on his last breath, and if he didn't find a priest soon, then maybe he would die without the sacraments. He wanted the absolute certitude that you have when you receive the sacraments of the church to know that you're on the path to heaven. So he went around the other way. As a side note, there was somebody who called me a week ago today to receive the sacraments of the church. And when I began speeding out to go find them, I got a call back saying, "They don't want you to come, Father. They don't want the sacraments anymore." And so I don't know what happened to that soul. I do know that soul passed into eternity. But I certainly did not receive the sacraments from my hands. And so I've been praying for that soul ever since and offering the Mass for them, that they might have mercy even though they rejected a priest on their deathbed. But Juan Diego knew he wanted the priest for his dear uncle. And so he went around the other way saying, "If Our Lady delays me right now, he might die before I can get the priest." So he snuck around the other side. But just like you know, you can't run long from your mom, right? She finds you. She knows exactly where you're at. It's the same way here. And he didn't get chided by Our Lady. He didn't get slapped around by her for avoiding her in this way. She came to him as a mother would, realizing how deeply he wanted to save his uncle. And so what did she say to him? Such important words. In this fourth apparition, she said to him this. She said, "Hear me and understand well, my Juan Dieguito. My son, the least and smallest of all mine. Nothing should frighten you or grieve you. Let not your hearts be disturbed. Do not fear the sickness or any other sickness or anguish. Am I not here who am your mother? Estoy aquí que soy tu madre. I am not here who am your mother. Are you not under the shadow of my protection? Am I not the cause of your joy? Am I not your help? Are you not in the hollow of my mantle? Do you find yourself not within the crossing of my arms?" She says. Do you need anything more than that? Do not grieve or be disturbed by anything. Do not be afflicted by the illness of your uncle who will not die from it. Be assured that he is already now cured. When she said these words of consolation, she instructed him, Juan Diego, this is what you were due to, climb up that mountain, grab these roses which should not be there. I will arrange them, and then you take them to the bishop. He will believe you. Leaving all that aside, what was our Mother Mary doing here? Our Lady, her first action was the exact same action that our Lord Jesus makes anytime he encounters somebody who's afraid, anytime he encounters somebody who's totally discouraged. What does he do? He says to them, just like she did, don't be afraid. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be anxious at all. Don't give in to sadness. Don't be lost in worry. Don't be disconsolate within your grief. You are worried about this particular illness. I tell you, it's nothing. Because all sickness is nothing to me. What is sharp and painful that I can ever destroy you if you're with me? Am I not here who am your mother? As a mother, I will always protect you. I will always comfort you. I will forever give you health in the deepest part of your soul. Won't I cover you just like a little child in my mantle? We'll keep you warm. We'll keep you hidden from all the attacks of the world that constantly beat you down. Just stay with me. As your mother, am I not your whole world? Am I not all that is important to you, my dearest little child? Don't you always find yourself there within the crossing of my arms, in my warm embrace, in my strong motherly arms? Is not this shoulder the shoulder that is able to absorb all of your tears? Is your head not always rocked to sleep by the rhythmic beating of my heart for you, from the tenderness of my breast, a soft pillow? Besides me, who am your mother, what else do you need? Don't be afraid. Do not fear. Let go of all your anxiety, because this sickness, this affliction, this disease, it's not going to destroy you. It will not destroy your loved one either. I know how this ends. Just trust me. Remember, I'm your mother. I know what's best. I'm already working out the cure, which is your salvation. When Our Lady spoke those words, Juan Bernardino was already cured. She had already visited him right before that. And even more than curing his body, she gave him her name. She spoke to him and said, I'm the Virgin of Guadalupe. But in that native Natual Indian language, it had different words that were used there. She said, Quatla Supe. And Quatla Supe is three words which are put together in the native tongue. It's Quat, meaning serpent. La, which is the article the. And Supe, which means to crush or to stamp out. You see, that's Our Lady. It's Our Lady. That's how she's always pictured here, right there before us all the time. Isn't she the woman who's saying that I'm the woman who stomps off the head of the serpent? I'm the one, she's saying, who destroys the devil and all his works and all his allurements, all his empty promises and temptations. I am the one who is more powerful than everything that is sharp, painful, and fear-inducing. I am the one who can crush and stomp out everything that causes you anxiety, tears, and sorrow, everything that brings about sadness and grief within your life. No soy qui yo que soy tu madre. Am I not here who am your mother? So maybe what's going on within your life right now, you're entering in the Advent season so full of joy, so full of everything that's good, it's great. You're ready to enter into that lasting, growing, self-multiplying joy and to share it with everybody you encounter. That's great, and that's where you should be. But maybe you're struggling to be there today. For the rest of us, maybe you're struggling with a death or a hardship, with a fear, with a sickness. Maybe there's something sharp or painful or hurtful that is making joy just a distant hope for you. Is that even possible? Maybe it's an impossible dream for you to even see right now. Well, go to her. Go to her, she who is the cause of our joy. That's what our Mother Mary is. And that's what Father Frederick talked about in the conferences he gave this week. Our Mother Mary is the cause of our joy. What does that mean, that she's the cause of our joy? Because Mary's yes was the cause of he who is joy incarnate coming to the world, Jesus Christ, who reminds us that God is with us and that we are loved beyond all telling. That's what joy is. Joy is that she gave us that same Jesus who is perfect love for us, that same Jesus who always remains with us and for us. Make use of the miraculous medal that you've received. It's for a reason. What does Our Lady, the miraculous medal, say to us? She says, ask. Whatever difficulty you're going through, ask for it, for these things, whatever it is that you need, whether it's the greatest thing within the world or the smallest insignificant thing, whether it seems like it's something that's so little or something that seems like it's so far beyond, Our Lady says, ask it of me. If it is indeed necessary for you, I will garner it for you. Have confidence in me. She reminds us to trust that she wants what's best for us, to have confidence to turn to her in every difficulty that we experience. It's always go to our Mother Mary. Listen again to the words that Our Lady of Guadalupe spoken. Let them be spoken to you because they were not just meant for Juan Diego that day. She is your mother and my mother too. She says to us, hear me and understand well, my dear son, my beloved daughter, least and smallest one. Nothing should frighten you or grieve you. Don't let your heart be disturbed. Do not fear that sickness, or any other sickness or anguish. Am I not here who am your mother? Are you not under the shadow of my wings within my protection? Am I not the source of your joy? Am I not your health? Are you not within the hollow of my mantle, within the crossing of my arms? Do you need anything more? Do not grieve or be disturbed by anything. Do not be afflicted by the illness of your uncle or any illness which is following you. It's not going to end in death. Be assured, I've already worked out the cure, which is for you to have salvation. See, our Mother Mary is always there. She's always here for you and me. She's always offering us nothing beside Jesus Christ, who is her son, in child form, to embrace and to clothe, to be with him. And for this reason, Mother Mary is the cause of our joy. For this reason, we have hope in her, who finds us within the crossing of her arms, always ready to lead us back to her son. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.